Shades of Green welcomes you all to the second program in this series. And this program is open to everyone, especially for those students taking up the credits MSc 1101, MSc 4301, and MSc 2201. And today, during Shades of Green, we will discuss issues relating to sustainable development. I will remind you that more about environmental education will be tackled every week during this program, broadcast every Tuesday at 14:30 on Campus FM 103.7, with a repeat on Fridays at 20:00 hours. So, good day to all Campus FM listeners. This is Vanessa introducing the program Shades of Green. And with me in the studio today, we have Dr. Paul Patch from the Faculty of Education. And, of course, we shall start right away with the students on campus voicing out their opinions on the subject of sustainable development.
For me, I mean, that the next generation can continue enjoying the environment that we have.
Maybe we have... If we begin with something, maybe... We just have to keep going on with that direction. I'm not sure.
It's the preservation, the way we live, so we can preserve the earth for the next generations.
I think it's related, because I just heard about it, but it's related to have, as you said, environment. We should protect our environment. We should and this sustainable development. I don't know how to explain it, but it will be linked to all the communities, not for only an individual or two persons, but it is a duty and a right at the same time.
Yes, sustainable development is living today without constraining the needs of the future generation. So just living and not being egoistic and not thinking about the people who are yet to come.
I think it's more responsibility towards yourself, first of all, and then towards the other people who will have contact with you, or even, for example, taking care of something. It's for you and for the future generations.
I heard of the term sustainable development. I think it means that we try to use the environment in order that people that come after us can find it better.
Sort of to promote the environment in a good way, even for example sustainable tourism, for example, like promoting Malta in a sustainable way, in a way that will still, although you get tourists here in Malta, you don't harm the environment and everything.
No, I never studied environmental studies.
I can't have a clue. Okay. Sustainable development, probably. Things which will enable me, or rather help me, to take care of the environment on both on personal point of view and even on a national scale.
So, Dr. Patch, welcome. You have heard the students' input on sustainable development. And, okay, can you tell us a bit further about this term, sustainable development?
Well, it's interesting enough that the students and their reactions to your questions seem to highlight the main point when it comes to defining what is sustainable development. If we want to have a look at the most accepted definition of sustainable development, we have to go back to the our Common Future report, better known as the Brundtland report, because it was commissioned by the United Nations World Commission on Environment and Development in 1987. And this particular report practically spells out what sustainable development is. And it says that it is development which meets the needs of the present without compromising the ability of future generations to meet their own needs. Now, most of the students that you interviewed, in fact, clearly pointed out this particular dimension of sustainability, the idea of actually extending our stay on the planet. Because some people might look at sustainable development as being something which is you know, it's a good thing to do without looking at the implications in their way of life. And basically, it's in fact one of the suggestions that was made by the same Brundtland report clearly states that sustainable development is development which is consistent with the natural functioning of the biosphere. In other words, this means that as living species on our planet, we have to make use of resources which are around us. And the problem was that most of these resources were being depleted without any thought of what will happen in a couple of years. And this meant that basically natural changes which occurred in nature were actually stopped and consequently created problems of depletion of resources from one end and the increase in pollution on the other hand. When you look at what happens in nature, most of the products, the byproducts, the wastes, for example, that a lot of organisms produce, they are recycled. They are put back into the system. They are used again. So there is no net loss and net gain on either side. It's one whole thing. And sustainable development basically addresses this particular issue, the idea of extending our life on our planet, in the sense that if we need resources, we have to make sure that these resources are used wisely and not wasted in order to find them tomorrow.
Okay, and well, as you mentioned, there are various issues related to sustainable development, but which ones have to be tackled urgently on a local scale?
I think the best way to look at what needs to be done is to have a look at what prompted this whole issue of sustainable development. As I've said earlier, the Brundtland Report was compiled in 1987, but strictly speaking, talk about sustainable development started off 7 years earlier in a publication jointly published by the World Wildlife Fund, UNEP and IUCN, entitled World Conservation Strategy, where they actually mention sustainable development as a way of conserving living resources. Now, the major impact this particular stance had on society was the fact that up till then, there was the idea that in order to develop, in order to progress as a species, we have to sacrifice the well-being of the environment, in the sense that in order to, for example, build cities so that we can live and enjoy ourselves, we have to clear, cut down trees, so on and so forth. And practically, this led to a clear divide between developers and environmentalists, in the sense that one saw the other as being, you know, the enemy of the whole cause. And the idea gradually started developing that you can't really go for good quality of life, which is the main target of development, without actually ensuring a good quality of the environment. In the sense, for example, if I'm living in a really industrialized and, you know, well-developed society.
With so much pollution.
Exactly. It affects my health. And, my life expectancy, my life expectancy is greatly reduced. What sort of development is that? You know, so this idea started sinking in, particularly following, it got a real big boost during the Rio World Summit in 1992, where actually sustainable development was earmarked as being the target for any future development, in the sense that, as we said earlier, we have a commitment towards other generations. And secondly, if we continue with our level of depletion, then we are running the risk of actually wiping ourselves out from this planet. And I'm not making things, sound
drastic, you know, drastic and dramatic.
They are, in fact, when you consider the rapid, for example, in Malta, the depletion of space is becoming more and more a problem. The same with waste. 80% of the waste which makes up MATAP is construction waste, where the actual material that is now considered as being a problem because it's waste could have been easily used and reused, like our forefathers used to do. Like, for example, when they started building churches and whatever, they used to make use of the stone that they actually hewed from the rocks.
But are there any real solutions for this problem? I mean, the thing is that we can speak about traffic, we can speak about depletion of space, but when we try to look at the solution, at the real face-to-face solution, you know, what are they, do they exist?
Well, it all depends on where you look for solutions, in the sense that we were trained to look at solutions from particular fields. Like, for example, we always try to look from the scientific, technological perspective, you know, coming up with a, you know, car which is which does not emit fumes, you know, these sort of solutions, grandiose solutions, which at times are just there for people to dream about because financially they are not...
unreachable targets.
Exactly. On the other hand, I think one of the major solutions to this whole problem is to actually devise lifestyles which are sustainable in themselves, in the sense that all problems, all environmental problems, can be traced back to several small contributions by different people. Now, if through a change in lifestyles, every single contribution is made more sustainable, then the end result is more sustainable. Mm. I know this sounds far-reaching, and we'll be tackling this later on when we look at environmental education and its role in fostering sustainable development. But this is the only way forward, because there are several technologies which are available, which promote sustainable development, but due to other convictions, they are not being used. Mm. Okay, like, for example, a case in point is certain statements made by world top leaders that they won't support any sort of control about emissions, for example, gaseous emissions. So the technology is there, the means are there. Unfortunately, at times it's the will to do and go through a particular process that is not forthcoming.
Shall we also say and mention the struggle for power and a bit of greed and a bit of everything?
Yes, exactly, yeah.
So, anyway, well, in a paper that I've seen from the United Nations Commission on the Environment and Development, which you have just mentioned, well, emphasis is placed upon the processes rather than the aims. Mm-hmm. Therefore, it says that in general, the wider objective of sustainable development is to find the optimal level of interaction among three systems: the biological and resource system, the economic system, and the social system, through a dynamic and adaptive process of trade-offs. Well, first thing is, can you explain this in simpler terms, and would this be applicable to the Maltese Islands?
Yes. A simple way of looking at things is that how you define the environment. We already mentioned some aspects of it in our first program. When you look at the environment, it's not just what is usually termed as the biological systems, in the sense that it's not the natural environment only, but there are other aspects of the environment, including, for example, as you mentioned, the economy and society. So basically, this document groups several concerns under these three major sets or categories. One of them is the environment, the biological systems, the quality of the air, the quality of water that we drink, the biodiversity, different organisms that live around us, so on and so forth, different habitats. Then there is the economic concerns, whether certain decisions are beneficial for the community or not, how to increase profit-making in order to ensure steady development of a country, whatever. And also social concerns. Are there any groups which are being regularly marginalized? Are the concerns that are being addressed always the concerns of a particular group or not? How does this particular innovation or idea impact on the communities that are living in that particular area? These social concerns. Now, I would like to make use of the visual capacities of the listeners. Imagine these three circles, okay, three sets. This might be, you know, a lesson in Venn diagrams. And all these three circles are intersecting.
Yes.
The point where all these
three meet
is what is called sustainable development. In the sense that sustainable development tries to, and the key word is trade-offs that you mentioned earlier, tries to accommodate the interests, various interests from the economic sector, from the social sector, from the environmental sector, in a way that a decision reflects these perspectives. This is a major step forward from what used to be done and unfortunately what's still being done in certain sectors, where basically I'm coming, for example, from the social sector. I just have a particular problem which I resolve without considering any economic impact or any environmental impact. Okay? Now, the need for our movement towards sustainable development requires that we look at these three different aspects and try to reconcile these three particular demands on our decisions, in the sense that most of the decisions that we'll be making will be more in tune with what needs to be done rather than a sort of shortcut, short-term solution to problems that we have. And this is basically the major problem, that when it comes to adopting sustainable development practices, or rather practices which promote sustainable development, we need to stop what we're currently doing and rethink our strategies. That's a very important point. Otherwise, we'll still continue to be unsustainable, our practices, and we'll never reach this target. Because as you said in your quote, it's not the product that is important, it's the process. Because the product, you know, it's like buying a particular object from the shops without actually knowing why to use it, how to maximize its benefits, you know. So it's the whole process of actually people involved in these day-to-day decisions regarding sustainable living. And it's not just the politicians or the industrialists or the economists who are making these decisions. It's decisions which are practically going on throughout the population. And particularly this is why the Rio Summit actually gives the ownership of sustainable development to the citizens. And that was also another major step forward when you look at how this debate developed, because up to, I would say, the mid-80s, it was always expected that the government would take a particular stance.
Yes.
Now the approach has been rather different when we're speaking about public consultation, public participation in decision-making fora regarding the environment. The issues are changing.
Okay, but mentioning this, just one thing comes to mind, actually. How much, in your opinion, are the Maltese ready to take up something similar? If the Maltese were to carry out decisions regarding sustainable development in their own country, how much are they prepared?
Well, if you examine what has been done, this is always has to do with whether you are pessimistic or optimistic. And environmental issues, you really can't decide which perspective to use, because at times you can be very elated by what's happening. At other instances, you feel really down.
The
you know, yeah, hit the bottom, exactly. And when it comes to sustainable development, there are two issues which need to be addressed. First of all, I think that the majority of the Maltese want to do something. They are aware of environmental problems that we have, and they are concerned as well. Just look at several vox pops that occur regularly on the media, and you see that people are aware. And secondly, they are concerned about the impact this particular problem or whatever the problem at hand is causing to their normal lifestyle. So the concern is there. Unfortunately, not everyone knows exactly how to proceed. And when I'm saying not everyone knows, not even our country really knows how to proceed. For example, we don't have any, to date, policy on sustainable development. And this means that you have several organizations and associations working in their particular fields, who are doing a very good job, but it's sort of sporadic, and it's unrelated and uncoordinated.
Yes.
Now, the need for a sustainable development strategy has been felt and has been enshrined in the law concerning the environment. And there is a commission which has been appointed, and it is currently working on initiating the process, which will end up with a national strategy. Now, that was the first step. The second step is to involve people from the very start mm-hmm. of the strategy. It doesn't make sense to actually come up with a strategy and then, you know, dish it out.
Yes.
No, people have to own it from the very, very start. Mm-hmm. And luckily, this process is being addressed by this commission that I mentioned. So, keeping our fingers crossed and relying on our optimistic perspective. Probably we'll speak differently in a couple of years' time.
So, well, once again, thank you, Dr. Patch, for the very useful information you have given us today. And as Dr. Patch has pointed out, in fact, I think that education is really, really very important in this aspect. And, of course, it's the need that we feel to strike a balance between the comfort of our own lifestyles and, of course, the environment surrounding us. And from Shades of Green Campus FM, I thank you for listening in on us today and invite you to another program, this time next week on 103.7 FM. So bye-bye and take care.